The first reading of Scripture this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The second reading comes from the letter written by St. Paul to the Christians living in Rome. Listen now for what Paul said to them and for what Paul says to us. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The third reading today comes also from a letter attributed to Paul to the Ephesians, and it is the second chapter, verses 4 through 10. Let us continue to listen with ears wide open. But God, rich in mercy and loving us so much, brought us to life in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It is through this grace that we have been saved. God raised us up, and in union with Christ Jesus, gave us a place in the heavenly realm to display in ages to come how immense are the resources of God's grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. And it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and even that is not of yourselves, but the gift of God. Nor is it a reward for anything that you have done, so nobody can claim the credit. We are God's work of art. We are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do the good things that God created us to do from the beginning. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So as I said last week, we are working our way through giving thanks and gratitude, and we are working through our stewardship time. So today is stewardship part two, and we're going to hear three more stories of what this church and this space means to people. Because stewardship is more than just bottom line finances. I'm sorry for all of those that think that that is what all stewardship is, but it is more than that. 2 weeks ago, the insert was about feeding the 5,000, how we are called to feed each other, both in natural nutrition, food, but to feed our spirits as well. Last week, the insert was about being the innkeeper, and I've used it several times around the building this week. There is always room, especially if you were here Tuesday night. This building was packed Tuesday night. There is always room at the inn, no matter what the Bible story says that night. But on Tuesday, we had the Boy Scouts up here honoring our veterans, and there were 43 people to be fed that night, plus the scouts and their moms helping. Down at the end of the hall, we had single moms meeting, talking and having their group with a nursery full of children. Out in the barn for the first hour was supervised parental visitation with a family. And as soon as they left, one of our 12-step programs stepped in. So there is room at the inn, and this building was busy. So many people pulled in and went, how come, maybe like this morning, why are there so many cars in the parking lot this morning? Why were there so many cars here Tuesday? So we're feeding people, right? We have room at the inn. And this week, why we pledge, and I don't need to write this to you, but scripturally speaking, pledging and helping support what the church does, not inside these four walls on a Sunday morning to keep the lights on and the heat up, but what we do to give back to God and back to each other and back to the community, that we love God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength. So please welcome our three speakers today that share their a small part of their journey and why they are here.
For those of you who don't know, my name is Christopher, and no, they weren't wishing for a boy. My mother saw the movie Without Reservation with Claudette Colbert, John Wayne, and Cary Grant. In the movie, Claudette's character was a famous author whose name was Christopher. I guess my mother thought that was cool. In the movie, the Christopher was called Kit, but I was never called Kit. I've always been Chris, spelled with a C-H, the correct way. I was born and raised in Benzie County and spent my entire life here except for 1 year in Midland when I was six and 1 year in Mount Pleasant when I was 11 and the 4 years I spent at Michigan Tech in Houghton. My mother's grandfather was a congregational minister. He moved here in the early 1900s to teach at the academy. After it closed, he had several other careers, including superintendent of the schools, and he had a printing office. He never had a church here, but he did do pulpit supply, and I know he preached at this church a few times. In my lifetime, my mother and my grandparents never went to church. I didn't question why. Now I wish I had. My father was a member of the Christian Science Church. And as soon as I turned three, and my brother when he turned three, we went with our dad to Sunday school at the Christian Science Church. In the Christian Science Church, you go to Sunday school until you're 18 or graduate from high school. We learned the same Bible stories, memorized the same verses from the King James Version of the Bible, as most of you did. But we also had lessons and readings from the Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. My parents divorced when I was seven, and from then on, except for a year in Mount Pleasant, I spent my whole life in the villages of Ansonia and Beulah. During this period, I would attend Bible school at this church in the summer, over where the museum is now, and when I was in junior high, I attended PF on Sunday nights at the community house. I knew almost all the kids and the teachers, and I was always welcome. When I was 15, I told my dad I couldn't accept the teachings of the Christian Science Church anymore and wanted to attend the Congregational Church. His reply was, "I don't care where you go to church as long as you go to church." As a teenager, I walked to this church every Sunday morning by myself. When I graduated from high school, I moved in with my dad, and he lived down in Beulah, and got a job at the Beulah Drug Company. I had to work every other Sunday. But on my Sunday off, if I wanted to go to church, I would have had to walk up the hill. I think I went to the beach instead. When I was at Michigan Tech, there was a UCC church right off campus, but I didn't know anyone personally who went to church on Sunday, so neither did I. After I graduated, I came back to Beulah, and we joined the Stone family business. Eventually, I ended up managing our farm market, and that involved working often on Sundays so others could have it off. After my daughter turned three, I decided I wanted my kids to have a church experience. So I came back to this church and entered them in Sunday school. After I was back for a while, I joined Circle One and started teaching Sunday school. This led to serving on several boards over the years, but I have served most of the time on the Board of Trustees, and I'm still a trustee. I also taught Sunday school until my kids graduated from high school, and I led PF when they got in high school and junior high. I became treasurer when Donna Knox retired when Steve Davidson was here, and held that position until I convinced Bill to take it over. I have always felt a need to be involved and serve whatever organization that I participate in. I was treasurer of the Crystal Lake Nursery School when my kids attended, then progressed to the parent-teacher group at Crystal Lake Elementary, and then the Benzie Central Band Boosters. I also served for a long time on the Benzie Central Board of Educational Foundation. In conclusion, I was not raised in this church. I chose this church because I admired and respected the people who attended it. Many were the movers and shakers of this community. They were my neighbors and friends. Even as a teenager, I felt welcome and was comfortable here. I have never had any desire to attend another church. If I'm unhappy about something or someone, I know it will get resolved, and if it's someone I'm unhappy about, I usually figure they won't be here forever. So, the church will always be here as long as we continue to love and support it. It is like my extended family. We don't always agree about everything, but we should be able to get along and sit at the table together.
You will have to bear with me, as I'm not a good speaker or writer, and age has not made it any easier. I have strong feelings for this church, as it has a unique history and has been a big part of my life. My grandmother Rice attended the college just before the turn of the century. My mother grew up with a strong faith that she passed on to her children. I was baptized in the church and watched my mother give her time and talent as the church organist. She started two youth choirs and oversaw Vacation Bible School. She was also very active in the Women's Fellowship later in life. I grew up in the home where Bruce Catton lived. The village was much quieter back then. I have fond memories of Sunday church in the park, monthly potlucks in the community house, Christmas bazaars, Children's Day with costumes made out of crepe paper, sitting in church with Susie Trapp Vigeland as her father always ushered, and my mother played the organ. Susie's mother was in the choir. The fall of 1951, I was 8 years old. When my father spent 6 weeks in the Frankfurt Hospital, not being able to eat. At that time, the hospital was just a house on Forest Avenue. Mother took him to TC for x-rays, and the head OR nurse begged my mother to leave him there, and she would ask the surgeons to do an exploratory surgery. We had recently met her through her brother, who rented an apartment in our home. My father was unconscious before surgery. They thought he had cancer, but discovered he'd had ulcers since he was in high school that had left a mass in his stomach. They removed 2/3 of his stomach, and the doctor asked what had kept him alive for so many years, and it was drinking baking soda. He also asked where he got the baking soda, because Arm and Hammer were on strike. And she said, "I'm bringing it to him from Canada." It was the support of this church and community that helped our family get through this time. My father's mother was a strong believer in the power of prayer. She listened to Billy Graham and Norman Vincent Peale on the radio. In 1983, I had just returned from seeing my father in Florida at the hospital, When I got the call Friday evening of Easter weekend that they decided to do surgery on my father as they found he had abscesses in the liver. That evening, Jim and I got the first flight out of Grand Rapids and arrived at the hospital just after surgery, and they told me he was in God's hands. Sunday night, we were told he had a chance. The doctor that had performed his surgery 31 years before came to see him. The surgeon in Florida wanted me to send all of his medical records, and he could not believe the history of my father. But the surgeon that had done the surgery 31 years before had retired and lived in the same area, and he came to see my father after the surgery. This church has been there for me all my life. I hope it will be for my children. If you haven't read Bruce Catton's book, Waiting for the Morning Train, I highly recommend it. I could relate my childhood to his.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Moorhead, and I'm a transplant. That's right, yeah. You're not going to hear anything like what you have just heard. I had never even seen a Verner's until I was in my early 20s. I'm a little scared to say this in front of Chris Stone, but I've never had a pasty. And I have acclimated here in Benzonia to Stapleton's and the top of the hill. It all makes sense to me now. But understand that if you share a story with me, even from like 1995, about a store in downtown Beulah, I probably don't know that it existed. I believe that it did, and I'm glad, I would be happy to hear your story. I was born and raised in central Iowa and moved to Michigan after college for a job opportunity for my husband. 14 years ago, my parents moved to Michigan to share in an intergenerational living situation with my husband and myself outside of Empire. I was also born and raised in the United Church of Christ. In fact, I'm the third generation in my family to participate in the UCC. It seems hard for me to believe, since the UCC has only been around for 68 years. Both my mom's family and my dad's families were members of evangelical and reformed churches before 1957. My maternal grandfather was the pastor at an ENR church in Wisconsin. So in June of 1957, when the ENR churches merged with the Congregational Christian churches to create the UCC, their family was there. My dad's side of our family attended an ENR church in Iowa, which also became a UCC church in 1957. After my parents were married, they returned to central Iowa, and that church, St. John United Church of Christ, became their home church. That was the church I was born into. When my parents relocated to Michigan, it was very important, especially to my mom, that she find a church, a United Church of Christ church. So she visited churches. I think she knew right away, after visiting Benzonia, that this was it. You all were very welcoming and very friendly. Reverend Chuck Guarino was the interim at the time. Women's Fellowship was active, and there was a lot going on, despite not having a settled pastor. I wasn't living here full-time when my folks began attending church here regularly, but I knew if it were right for my mother, she is a PK,
pastor's kid.
After all, it was a good choice. When Patty began discussing this year's stewardship campaign and the opportunity to offer testimonials, I wondered what that would look like. Thank you to Bill, Tony, Anna, Barb, and Chris for bravely sharing their stories. They highlighted many reasons why this church is important, both for them and many others, as well as myself. The people here and their service to others and the community is vital, and I thank all of you for your commitment to that. What does First Congregational of Benzonia United Church of Christ mean to me? Many, many things. But today I'd just like to highlight a few of them. For me, the United Church of Christ vision statement says it all. United in Christ's love, a just world for all. That's why I'm here. As I grew up in a UCC church, I was surrounded by love. As a child at church, I learned about the ideas of justice and equality. I appreciate that we continue to be reminded of these themes today. I value that each week I can take something away from being in this building, even if it's a gentle reminder for gratitude or acceptance. What never occurred to me as a child was the idea that I couldn't do or be anything I desired. I didn't understand boundaries in that way or gender norms because I was surrounded by strong women. The same can definitely be said for First Congregational of Benzonia. The humans in this building have led remarkable lives and have amazing stories to tell. Not to leave out the men, but I have to agree from Anna last week, I am a female, so the women resonate with me. And I didn't ask permission to say this, but Barb Bryan is still driving a fork truck. So, the women associated with this church are forces of nature. And I mean that in the best tornadic type of way. That's the kind of equality I want to be a part of. Don't get me wrong. Chris Stone said it just a few minutes ago. We don't always agree. There are lots of opinions here, which I think is great. We should have the ability to share our thoughts and feelings, especially when they are not the same as someone else's. We should have the chance to challenge our perspectives and see them through another lens, to hear each other, to respect where we each sit, to be loved for everything we are and sometimes everything we aren't. Please, please keep doing all of that. Share the love you feel from being here with another. Offer a hand up to those that might need it. Share a moment with someone just because you can. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being the United Church of Christ.